The Emperor's Last Island is a new book by Julia Blackburn about Napoleon, his demise, and a whole lot more. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
Julia Blackburn seems to be less interested in Napoleon as a general or an emperor or a lover than she is in the idea of exile and the way we make history and how her own mind works as she writes this book. She's forever pausing to explain the order of her chapters or to digress on personal experiences that allow her to identify with Napoleon on St. Helena's during the 6 years it took him to die, of solitude. After which, in superstitious dread, the English buried him in a tin coffin inside a mahogany coffin inside a lead coffin like a nest of Russian dolls, deep in a stone-lined hole in the ground of a desolate windy plain. Blackburn tells us that she knows how all this feels because of her dying stepmother, and a mortician she met once, and a mummified saint she saw in an Irish church, and some time she spent on Mallorca with the poet Robert Graves, who was also waiting to die. Because Blackburn herself is compelling, so is The Emperor's Last Stand. We get a history of the island, St. Helena's, 60 million years old, and once upon a time volcanic. A great forest fit only for spiders and snails before the Portuguese arrived in 1502 and let loose some goats to breed. An earthly paradise for the next century or so, because of the fugitive nobleman Fernando Lopez, and largely barren rock by the time Napoleon first saw it in 1815. Blackburn finds this Lopez to be almost as interesting as Napoleon. He'd shipped out to build an empire for Portugal, gone native and converted to Islam in Goa, been tortured by his own officers, losing a right hand, a left thumb, his nose and ears, jumped ship en route to Lisbon at St. Helena's and stayed for 30 years. Sailors left him seeds. Out of peacocks and pomegranates, palm trees and pigs, Lopez made a garden. This garden was then despoiled by a British East India Company that cut down all the ebony trees to make acid from the bark for the tanning of hides, because there wasn't enough money in the minerals, or the salt, or the seabird droppings, or the sea cow oil, nor enough yams to feed the slaves who grew them. This godforsaken outpost of the British Empire became a prison. So send Napoleon after Waterloo to this rock and let him rot, with his snuffbox and his sword, his sauce chef, and the Chinese servants who made chess sets and painted screens for him to hide behind from the 2,000 British soldiers. Let him fatten and sicken in his marble tub, his passion flower garden, his Chinese aviary, or his fairy tale tea house with a dragon on top, dictating his memoirs to distraught and greedy secretaries from a seesaw. Leave him no choice but to learn how to die. It was as if, says Blackburn, he had raced so fast all his life that now he had to sit still and wait for his destiny to catch up with him and do what it liked in disposing of him. So much for the self-serving diaries of his doctors, priests, and sycophants, the rationalizations and wanton cruelties of his wardens, the stealers of his death mask, his heart, his stomach, and his penis. So much in this dream book for Oedipus at Colonus, Lear on the Blasted Heath, Bolivar on the Rio Negro. So much for glory, and so much for empire, and so much for all of us, rotting back to compost in the valley of the tomb, history as slaughterhouse. I can't imagine what Judith Blackburn will think of next to write about so brilliantly, but I'll buy whatever it is.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Emperor's Last Island by Julia Blackburn. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, and this is Fresh Air.